Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
For many people around the country, a Friday evening means putting on your football scarf and heading to a League of Ireland match to cheer on your team. But while the highs are great, the lows when your team isn't doing well can be devastating. So why do the fans keep coming back for more? Well, to tell us, I'm joined in the studio by Sean Cotter, who's a Dundalk fan, Samantha Librari from the RTE newsroom, who many of you will know as a Shamrock Rovers fan, and on the phone from Waterford by Ciara Losty, who is a lecturer in applied sport and psychology at the South East Technological University. Good morning to you all. You're all good very morning. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. So, Sean, I'm going to start with you. You're a lifelong supporter of Dundalk, is that right?
Yeah, definitely. So would have obviously started going when I was younger, a lot younger initially, my family, and then kind of I guess the obsession or the fandom really kicked in 2013 when Stephen Kenny arrived, or he was appointed as Dundalk manager, and since then it's kind of been a weekly obsession and lifestyle.
So 2013 your fandom went to obsession.
So I would have been 12 at the time, I'm 21 now, so since then kind of been a big part of my life, and it was kind of hard not to. Everyone in Dundalk kind of got the bug, because especially when the team started playing so well, and the success and the brand of football, and then trophies and everything else, and it was infectious, you know, how the positivity around associated with the club.
And how dedicated are you?
Well, I mean, you know, traveling around the country, and I think it's dedication within the family. All my uncles and grandfather and cousins, we all would go to the games on Friday nights, and organise trips to Derry and Sligo and Cork and this type of thing. So yeah, it's a big commitment, but it's something everyone's so glad to be doing.
And when they win, obviously it's great, as I was saying, but when they lose on a Friday night, does it affect your week?
Yeah, I guess it does in some sense. Like whenever they do lose, it can be devastating, depending on how they lose.
And who they lose to, right?
Yeah, especially with maybe Shamrock Rovers here, Samantha beside me. You kind of have to have the positivity that there's a game next Friday and hopefully they can, you know, win, and the positivity will be back.
The negativity will never drive you away, I think, anyway. So, Samantha, you've been a Shamrock Rovers fan since you were about 11.
Yes, so similar to Sean, started going with my dad when I was 11 years old. It was just off the back of Italia 90 and USA 94. So I was a bit of a tomboy. I hung out with a lot of boys when I was younger. I didn't play football, but I...
And you're from the wrong side of the
city.
And
I'm from the wrong side of the city. I'm from the north side. So, but my dad had started supporting Rovers in a similar way. His father had brought him to a game when he was about 9 years old, because Rovers were in the middle of a winning streak in the 1960s. So he, you know, hitched his wagon to that particular gang and went on. And his brothers are all Bows fans. So it's a, you know, source of contention within the family. But I went to my first game, which was Shamrock Rovers versus Bohemians in Dalymount Park when I was 11. And my dad is a very reserved, very quiet individual, and very polite. And I went along and just witnessed the absolute losing of his mind and all the men around him. And it was all men. And it was just the atmosphere and the whole thing was intoxicating. Mm-hmm. And from the very first game, I was hooked. And 28 years later, I'm still going.
And you really are hooked, aren't you?
Well, I am, yeah. Like, it's more difficult now for me to go to games. I have two small children and, you know, work commitments and things like that. But I go as often as I can. And it's a big part of my identity with Shamrock Rovers. It always has been over the years. And, you know, we were talking outside, myself and Sean, about the highs and lows. And, you know, I followed the club. When I went in 94, Rovers won the league that year. And I thought that was going to happen forever. But I had to wait 16 years to see them win anything again. They didn't win a cup until I was, you know, in my late 30s. So, you know, I saw the club went through a lot of things, examinership. It was on the brink of going out of existence. We were relegated for the first time in our history. I watched an awful lot of bad football over the years, and I don't think anyone in Shamrock Rovers would mind me saying that. But then we had, you know, a revival. We moved to Tallaght Stadium in 2009. We got into the group stages of the Europa League, the first club to do it before Dundalk got there, and went on these amazing away trips to White Hart Lane to see Tottenham Hotspurs. We played Juventus. We had Real Madrid come to Tallaght Stadium.
The excitement of it all.
So there was just, I've got to experience some great highs, but some substantial lows as well.
Well, I'm watching Welcome to Wrexham at the moment, which I don't know if you've seen, with the two Hollywood stars buying the club. club in Wales. And you can just see the devotion. They've been through some really, really tough times there as well. But you do begin to understand the passion and the hard times. That's when the fans are really needed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly in Dundalk, you know, the good times weren't always there, and the fans really feel it, because I guess outside of the club, the players are so visible within the community, and like a lot of them live in Dundalk, the town itself. So, you know, I guess they would feel it as well. Whenever they lose a game or it's not going well, they'll be meeting fans down in the square in Dundalk, and they'll let them know how they're feeling. And that works both ways when they're doing well.
The community links are there, and that's why it's very different to Premiership club, where you mightn't see them in your local community. Ciara, from your point of view, is it good for you to be a fan?
Absolutely. Good morning, Claire. Some great points made by your contributors there. There's lots of psychological and social benefits for being a fan, a sports fan. And the importance many of us place on sport really became clear when COVID restrictions led to the suspension of sporting events. But being a sports fan can satisfy some of the most basic psychological needs, such as the need to belong, the need for self-esteem, the need for control, and the need for meaningful existence. And the guys there really did mention the identity pieces as well. And the more we identify with our team, the more our feelings are connected to the performance. So we do get wrapped up in the emotions of how our team is actually performing. But that actually is kind of a critical psychological variable, because it really correlates positively to both mental and physical health, because it kind of helps us define and gives us some meaning and purpose in our life to something that's maybe bigger than us.
Yeah, but I mean, I was talking to Sean there about the Friday nights when the team loses, and maybe that affects you for the week. I mean, are there any negatives to the whole experience of being a fan or a super fan?
There are. There are some really interesting studies that look at some of the physiological responses of the fans when they're actually watching games. And some research has explored, particularly international soccer, and they've identified a number of physiological responses when you're actually watching matches, such as heightened cortisol. So you've probably heard of that. It's kind of the stress hormone, increases in testosterone levels on actual match day. So a little bit similar to some of the players that increased actually rates of heart attacks following major games. So there is kind of a physiological response coming, so emotionally connected.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one.
To our team. pretty big, yeah. And I suppose if you were prolonged release of cortisol when we experience stress over a long period of time will affect maybe your immune system as well. So if you're a highly committed fan who's getting overly angry or overly excited, you need to be aware maybe that too much cortisol over a prolonged period actually could be detrimental to your health.
Sean, I just want to come back to you on, you know, the fact that practically every Friday night you need to devote to your team. How does that affect your relationships, your friendships and so on? You're gone on a Friday.
Yeah. So I guess from, depending on the social part of it, could start an hour or two beforehand as well. So it kind of takes up your whole Friday evening. But like, for example, I go to college now in Dublin, and a lot of my friends wouldn't necessarily have a League of Ireland connection, but I've involved them in it now, and I tell them to come down to Dundalk and come see what it's all about.
And do they go?
Yeah, they have. And they came down actually last season to a game against Shamrock Rovers, and Dundalk won. And it was...
You had to mention that.
Yeah, of course. And the atmosphere was electric, like, you know, and the inside the shed and the chants and the singing. And they had never been to a League of Ireland game before, so they couldn't get over the passion and the euphoria kind of at the game.
Yeah, it's hard though, isn't it, when you're trying to introduce somebody to the team that you love and they just will never really have the passion that you have for that team.
But the league has come a long way. I mean, when I was younger, you mentioned that Shamrock Rovers were your team and people would look very strangely at you and say, well, why do you support them and why don't you support an English team? And I sent my son to his first football training session a couple of years ago in a Shamrock Rovers jersey, and he had heard about nothing other than Shamrock Rovers. And he came back saying, the guy said that Liverpool are better and Spurs are better. And I said, no, they're not. You know, Shamrock Rovers are the best team in Ireland. And my husband gave out to me saying, you're not giving him the proper picture here. You know, you're only giving him you're biased. So I've been trying to indoctrinate people into the club for the last 30 odd years, and I've managed to take two of my male friends along as fans, and my children now are being indoctrinated despite yeah. what they might feel.
The pull to the Premiership club though for the young ones is very, very strong.
Yeah.
I mean, are they Shamrock Rovers fans, or is he veering towards Liverpool? Or
no, he often asks me, does Messi play in the League of Ireland, and you know, does Ronaldo and stuff like that. So he hears in school, he hears a lot more about those kind of players, and you know, he only knows the name of one or two players. But I mean, you know, the thing that I always say about the league, and it's the thing that I, you know, people, there can be quite a division, I think Sean would agree, between people who go to League of Ireland games and people who just support Premier League clubs. And I think it's that, you know, the experience of being there, there is nothing like it. And you feel a different kind of connection to the club. Even when I watch Shamrock Rovers on the TV, when I can't make a game, it doesn't feel the same. So for me, going to football is an experience in itself. And you can support any team that you want anywhere around the world, but nothing beats actually being there.
Your father doesn't watch the games, is that right,
no,
on television?
He's so superstitious about everything. So when I was younger, you used to be able to look up the results on teletext. Do you remember teletext before mm-hmm. the internet? And if I were to go and check a result in the middle of a game and we were ahead and then we subsequently drew or lost, that I would have influenced that game by pressing that button on the teletext. And he won't watch on TV. He walks up and down. Even the penalty shootout against Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers won the cup after many, many years. I hadn't seen them win the cup in my lifetime. And they won in 2019. My son was mascot for the game. And it went to a penalty shootout after a very dramatic end to the game. And he sat with his head in his hands. He wouldn't look up, you know, and he just waited for the roars to know what had happened.
Yeah, but lots of people can understand that. But I was interested to see that even when you're in work and you can't go to a game, you can't admit to be watching that game.
Oh, no. And I text my mother saying, she'd say, are you watching the game? And I say, of course I am, but don't tell Dad, you know, so because he genuinely believes that will adversely affect the outcome.
Tell me a little bit about, Ciara, the impact and influence that the fans can have over the game, because we often hear that they're the extra player. Is that true?
Absolutely. It is like home advantage, or the tendency for the home teams and players to outperform the visiting team is one of the most well-documented findings in sports psychology. And there's a couple of reasons for this. Probably the main reason is that the referee unconsciously or subconsciously favours the home teams. And the fans also exert influence on the officials and the referees with their cheering and their chants. And that gets them maybe to change or favour their decisions for the home team as well. The other thing is that visiting players often experience some kind of travel fatigue too, or they maybe spent the night in an unfamiliar hotel the night before, and this may actually impact their performance. But yes, home advantage really is a real social psychological.
That's you, Sean, when you have to go to Derry.
Yeah, exactly.
The long road.
The long road, yeah.
Talk to me about the highs that you've had as a Dundalk supporter.
Well, there's been, thankfully, I've experienced a lot already in following Dundalk and winning cups and that type of thing. We won the cup in 2015, and then we would have, obviously, the big thing, we won three cups while Stephen was at the club, and then as well in 2019. But the big thing was qualifying for Europe in 2016, and it was the first time the club had done it, mm-hmm. and being at Tala Stadium for when we played Bate, and when Robbie Benson scored the third goal, like, you know, the place went mental. But I think I was just thinking about this, like, what particularly the highs of it make so special is going back to Dundalk after the wins, and you know, often in the Aviva, it's all about getting back to Dundalk, back to kind of celebrating together as a community in the square in Dundalk is like the focal point of
so getting back home is important. And tell me about when you go to a home game. Do you always stand in the same place? This feeds into the superstitions now Samantha was telling us about.
So typically my family would stand in the shed in Oriel Park, is where a lot of the kind of singing and chanting is
explain done. That to us now. What's the shed?
You know, in Oriel Park there's two kind of stands. The stand has kind of seated seats, and then the shed's a bit more crazy, I guess, you know, standing.
The raucous end, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So my family typically would stand there, and like I would come home on a Friday night from college in Dublin, and I mightn't even be in the house yet, and I'd go straight to the game in Oriel, and when I walk in, might see my dad, my cousins, my granddad, you know, the whole family's kind of there already. So it's that immediate feeling of familiarity and being at home, you know.
Yeah, that sounds great. And and Ciara, that's really important too, that you know what you're going to do with your leisure time and you have a plan.
Yeah, and I think fandom is what is actually referred to in sports psychology. It really does provide structure and routine in people's lives as well. So that actually obviously feeds into actually giving meaning, purpose, the structure, which in the long term actually helps reduce uncertainty in people's life. And when people feel uncertain about things, they often feel more anxious. So it reduces anxiety too.
So if you always know where you're going on a Friday night,
yeah,
that helps with the stress levels.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sounds good. And then when it comes to the stand for you, Samantha, and your family, where do you go? Do you always go to the same place?
Exactly, the same seat. So when Shamrock Rovers started playing in Talla Stadium in 2009, after a long journey to get there, we walked up the steps and I could watch my dad in front of me picking a seat. And I knew walking up those steps that I will sit there for the rest of my life, because he's so superstitious and he gets there very early, long before the game, to make sure he can secure these seats. So, and it's an important part. And then you get to know the people around you, and we sit in the family section, and I try to keep my dad's language under control as he... is there.
He sounds like an intriguing character. We'll have to have him on the programme.
He ticks all those boxes in relation to fandom, you know, and the cortisone levels and all that kind of thing.
You mentioned the long search for a home prior to Talla. Does that time represent some of the lows?
Yes, because I would never have been to Milltown, which was the famous home of Shamrock Rovers for a long time, that was subsequently sold and turned into a housing estate. But I began to support them in their wandering years, and I've seen them everywhere, from having to play in Talca Park, which is Shelburne's home ground, to Morton Stadium, which was an athletic stadium. And during that time, we played Bohemians, who are our rivals, and we were beaten 6-4 in a game, and where, you know, there was only dozens of fans there at the time. And, you know, there were very hard years to watch the club, but fans came together, they created a membership and gave money towards the club, which helped rescue it from examinership. And to see then Talla Stadium, to see, you know, we've had Real Madrid there, we've played against Juventus, we've had, the Europa League journey, like Sean spoke about. And the high for me was in 2011, Shamrock Rovers played in White Hart Lane, and we were playing Tottenham Hotspurs, big, huge. And my dad was actually a Spurs fan as well. So it was, you know, it was a very important occasion. And Stephen Rice scored the first goal of the game, and in that moment, and it's up there with the birth of my children and the day I got married.
Oh my gosh, right?
I believed. It was just the joy that we could, that we were contenders, that we were, you know, at the now. Subsequently, we went on to lose the game 3-1, but that is still one of the best moments of my life.
You believed in that moment that they could go all the way.
I thought that we were going to win the Europa League. I was going to plan my wedding the next year on a different date to make sure that it didn't clash. You know, you can, and that's the thing about football. There's a lot of hope that keeps you going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you need it sometimes.
Well, it's great to see. I'm just disappointed you weren't wearing the Shamrock Rovers.
Sorry, no,
kit.
Green shirt.
Because Sean,
I know he made the effort.
In the Dundalk strip. Thank you both very much for coming in, Samantha and Sean. And Ciara, thank you to you as well. And before we leave this, just to mention that the Republic of Ireland women's team are in action in Slovakia this afternoon, Vera Pau's side. They're on a journey with the 2023 World Cup, the ultimate destination. So 3 points in Slovakia would send them directly into the second round. I know there's a convoluted playoff system, but let's take it step by step. They need to win here to get into the second round directly. Kickoff is at 5 o'clock Irish time. The match is live on RT2. Coverage starts at 4:30. And of course, we wish them the very best of luck. We'll take a quick break.